RadioArchives.com presents The Phantom Detective Magazine from November 1948. Murder Acres, the 150th adventure of the Phantom Detective. Nemesis of Crime by Robert Wallace. Read by Milton Bagby. Desperate for a purpose in life, millionaire playboy Richard Curtis Van Lone dedicates himself to a one-man campaign to rid the nation of organized crime and big-time racketeers. Reborn from the ashes of war, Van Lone returns to find his home in the stranglehold of gangsters and murderers. Donning a domino mask and teaching himself deduction and the art of disguise, he takes on crime single-handedly as the mysterious Phantom Detective. His true identity known only by one person, Van Lone swings his way into mystery, a specially made platinum badge shaped like a domino mask his business card. This master of disguise, deduction, and psychology delivers his own unique brand of law and order to the underworld as the Phantom Detective. And now, the Phantom Detective's pulse-pounding mystery adventure, Murder Acres. Chapter 1. Death in a Towel. The sign on the glass-pebbled door said, Neil Brady, Investigations. Inside, in the one small office which had been divided into two by the simple expedient of using a partition, Nora Dolan, secretary, general factotum, and sole employee, raised her blue eyes to the clock on one wall. Its hands pointed to the hour of 5. Nora sighed and rose from her desk. Putting the cover on the typewriter on the desk, she slipped on her shorty coat and settled her hat in place in front of the mirror over the washbowl behind the screen. Picking up her handbag then, she tapped on the door connecting the front half of the office with the rear. "Mr. Brady," she called in a low voice, one calculated not to interrupt deep and intensive thought. On the other side of the partition, a chair squeaked. Feet struck the floor.
"Yes, Nora," a voice said.
"It's 5 o'clock, the secretary announced. "I'm leaving. Do you want anything before I go?"
The door opened, framing the tall, loosely built figure of Neil Brady. He looked sleepy, or as if the heavy thought had been too much for him. His gray eyes seemed only half open. His rusty hair was rumpled, as if he had been running his hands through it repeatedly. The chalk-striped blue suit he wore was liberally sprinkled with cigarette ashes.
"No, thank you, Nora," he said. "Run along." He patted back a yawn. "See you in the morning."
When the girl had left, though, a sudden and surprising change came over Neil Brady. The sleepy look disappeared in a flash. His shrewd gray eyes brightened alertly as he reached for the telephone directory. Flipping the pages back quickly, Brady ran a finger down a column of names under the R's. His lips moving as he silently repeated a number, he dialed it, waited a moment, heard a man's soft voice, in which was an obsequious accent, drift across the wire.
"The Ryder residence," the voice said.
"I want to talk to the senator," Brady spoke tersely.
"I'm sorry, sir," came over the wire. "Senator Ryder isn't at home."
"What time will he be back?" asked Brady.
"That's hard to say. If you'll give me your name."
But Brady had cut the connection. He was frowning as he cradled the phone. The long ash of his cigarette dropped to a lapel. Absent-mindedly, he brushed it off, his eyes narrowing in thought. He walked across the office and for a minute stood at the window, looking out at the brick-walled air shaft. Then his gaze shifted back to his desk and to a copy of the noon edition of the Clarion which lay there. He stared at it thoughtfully, something kindling in his gaze. It was as if a new thought had struck him, a sudden idea. Abruptly, Brady reached for his fawn felt hat on a hat tree. He pulled on the hat, then opened it.